up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us on a Friday, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I'm going to get to some preseason news and notes from some of the games last night, some of the games that are going on this weekend. Still contend that I think we need to do something different with these games, but lost in a lot of the baseball yesterday, some of the games that, like the Yankees and the A's and some of the NFL football yesterday, was a few minutes of a baseball game in Boston. Listen to this. Back on August 7th, the Kansas City Royals and the Boston Red Sox were playing the final game of a series at Fenway Park. And the game was tied 4-4 going into the 10th inning. And then the rains came, and the rains lasted and lasted and lasted until they finally said, we have to call this. We're not going to play this deep into the night. The Royals have to get going. I think the Red Sox at the time were leaving as well for the next different trip. They said, look, we're going to call this. We're going to have to resume this. The problem was Kansas City wasn't scheduled to go back to Boston at any point during the schedule. So they had to find a mutual day that worked best for both teams when the Royals were on the road and Boston was at home to finish this game. So the Kansas City Royals went to Boston, got a hotel, settled in, went to the game, warmed up, got in a uniform, put themselves together, prepared, went out. They played 12 minutes before Boston in the bottom of the 10th inning won it on a Brock Holt RBI single. Chris Owings scored the winning run. And that was it. And the two teams had went on their separate ways. 12 minutes.
Don't you think they could have settled this maybe with a simulated game on MLB The Show?
I think they could have done something like that. Yeah.
Or just a coin toss.
And you know what? Why not? I know it sounds crazy and it wouldn't be unprecedented because they don't like doing it. Why don't they just call it a tie?
Yeah.
And just said, you know what?
I know, baseball, you can't have ties.
They don't want ties.
No. Nope.
They don't want ties. But they made this team come back for 12 minutes of action. Now, they didn't know. I mean, they didn't know it was going to be 12 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. The game could have played to 18 innings. I mean, who knows? But in the end, it was just 12 minutes. That's all it was, 12 minutes. And the Royals showed up for one quick appearance and then left for Cleveland.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hudson Mason, former Georgia quarterback, is going to join us now, college football analyst, to go over some of the Week 0 games and also just an overview of expectations in the SEC. We'll talk to him coming up in about 30 minutes. Oh, I know this next little part. Before we get to some more NFL preseason news and notes, I know this next little part's going to drive you crazy, but you know who just swept the Cleveland Indians in a three-game series?
Kansas City Royals. Few days? No,
yeah,
no, not that many.
The New York Mets.
Oh, God.
I know. They've now won five in a row and six of their last seven.
Mets.
They're still nine games behind the Atlanta Braves in the division, but they're rising up the ranks in the wild card.
All right, so should we call it? Should we call it? I mean, Tebow has no chance
now.
Yeah,
he's not coming. He's not playing.
Not coming this season?
No, because it's in a week, right? A little over a week. It's going to be September, and these are now really meaningful games for the Mets. They're only a game and a half behind St. Louis and Washington for the wild card spot, for a wild card spot.
That ain't
they're
right.
On top of the Phillies. They're on top of the Brewers, who made the playoffs last year. So what a turnaround. And they swept the Cleveland Indians. Noah Syndergaard had a perfect game going into the sixth inning.
And then ESPN ruined it.
Right. And then, of course, yep. Do what they always do, right? As soon as the guy gets one going, they're just
perfect
like,
game
hey, they
alert!
Have a perfect game. Is that a perfect game? Do they have a perfect – he has a perfect game. I think he has a perfect game. Does he have a perfect game? What? Are we supposed to say perfect game? I don't think we're supposed to say perfect game.
You know what bothers me, too? They're not even televising it.
Right. No.
They're just – I mean, they're just out there to ruin – if they were televising it, I bet you they wouldn't say anything.
Have some respect for the superstitious traditions that are Major League Baseball. My goodness. Get a perfect game going, and they ruined it.
Yep.
But anyway, he settled for a two-hitter, six-inning performance. The Mets shut out Cleveland last night 2-0 to complete the sweep. This isn't just some normal, good old American League baseball team. This is the Indians, for crying out loud. They beat them in three straight. God, this is going to get scary. The Mets are actually decent.
No, they're not.
Come on now.
No, they're not. People are doing
67
this.
And 60. They're 7 games above 500.
The entire MLB got together and said, hey, we don't want this Tebow kid to be called up.
That's
how
right.
do we do this? Well, if the Mets keep winning, they're not going to call him up.
That's right.
That's it. They're all, you know what? Start an inquiry right now. Someone has got to get banned for life.
Yeah, completely, right?
Someone is throwing these games. I'm not sure who. That's the only explanation. Because yeah. The Mets aren't good enough to keep Tebow down.
They got Jacob deGrom on the mound tonight hosting the Braves at Citi Field, the National League East leading Atlanta Braves. So,
yeah, if they swept the Braves, we need to have a serious inquiry.
Well, this is the – all right, let me make this point here. Because the Mets were riding a – 7 or 8 game win streak. Let me count them real quick. 3, 6, 8. They were riding an 8-game win streak before they lost to the Nationals on a Sunday. And then that ended their streak, and they still took 2 of 3 from the Nats. Then they went to Atlanta for a 3-game midweek series with the Braves. They lost the first 2 games of the series and then salvaged the series by a win. But it looked like, okay, the Mets had lost 3 in a row. Then they lost their first game to the Royals, so they lost 4 of their last 5. All right, they're starting to fall down a little bit. Maybe we were a little over-exaggerating. But then they turned it around, took the final 2 games of the series against the Royals, and now have swept the Indians in a 3-game set. Now they're back.
No.
To being in the conversation.
God, Mets, what are you doing?
I know. Stop. Slow down.
Stop it. We want Tebow in a Mets uniform, a legitimate Mets uniform. We want him. I want him to hit a home run at Citi Field and raise that apple.
Yep. Exactly.
My dream.
Yeah, they still do that? Is that still a thing? Raise the apple? I don't know. But the
I knew
Yankees,
it was back in the day.
On the flip side, the Yankees have lost 4 straight. They were swept in Oakland in a 3-game set.
Of course they
this
were.
This is the first meeting with the A's this season. And that goes to what you and I have always said about the A's. Who are the A's? What exactly are they? What in terms of a baseball team? Are they good? Are they not good?
Yeah, outside of Brad Pitt being the general manager, I really don't know anybody on the A's.
Yeah, and Jonah Hill being in second in command.
Yeah, crunching numbers.
The A's are 7 games back of the Astros. Now, I don't think they're going to catch the Astros. I think it's too much. And I don't think the Rays are going to catch the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees are in too much trouble.
Nah.
Right?
All the Yankees need to do, they need to just go play Baltimore.
But, hold on. here's the thing. The Oakland A's are on top of the wild card standings. That means they're making the – if they keep going like this, they're going to make the playoffs again.
Yeah, they will. They do it all the time.
We're gonna have to again remind us, you and I, who exactly is on this team?
Piscotty.
Stephen Piscotty, is he
yep.
still on
he's
the Mets?
Still, he's still on the, no, he's on the A's.
I mean the A's. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is he still on the A's?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. I think Tanner Roark is on it because he pitched last night.
And Chris,
so Tanner Roark
Chris
is
Davis.
There.
Chris with a K.
Chris Davis with a K is on that team.
Yep.
That's really it. Matt Chapman is a guy I remember.
You know
it?
What? Hey, if we can't get Tebow called up, you know who we can rally behind? That fan that threw 96 miles per hour.
That's right, him.
He's in the farm system.
That's
Let's
right.
get him called up.
Oh, and also, too, that quarterback from Oklahoma, Kyler Murray. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
No, they'll bring
right.
him up.
Kyler Murray.
I hear he's down in Cabo keeping baseball shape with
exactly.
with Ezekiel Elliott.
Wouldn't be funny. The A's should do that as a joke. Right? Just think about like when they just think when they make their September call-ups, they should announce Kyler Murray is being called up.
Yeah. Why not?
Force people in Arizona to go, did you know the A's called you up? He's like, I don't know why. Yeah,
but after,
that.
You got to wait till after his first game. Because you know the first game, right. Kyler Murray, I mean, he might play well, but there's a better chance of him getting lit up.
It's a better joke if he stinks in the first couple of games of the season. It's a better gag if he's struggling as a rookie. But if he's like lights out like Baker Mayfield, where you feel like, oh, this kid can play in this league, it doesn't work as well. But if he's struggling, it works great if the A's go, yeah, we're calling him.
We're calling him
September call-up. Well, correct me if I'm wrong on a serious note. Wasn't that kind of his – remember the A's were kind of renegotiating his deal to try to keep him in baseball, and they kept saying, well, we're going to bring you up quicker. You're not going to ride the bus in Rancho Cucamonga forever.
Right, yeah.
Like we're renegotiating this to have you moved up to the majors as quickly as possible.
You're not hanging out in Modesto, California too long.
No. Forget that. You're not going to be bouncing around
some
Montana
be there.
League. What are you, crazy?
We normally have to keep you there for maybe a month.
Right.
But we'll fast track you.
Right. And so, you know, look at them. Look at the A's. God, they keep doing it every single
A's
year.
Would we lose our collective mind if we had an A's versus Mets World Series?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I mean, we'd have one team that doesn't belong there, another team we didn't know is there.
Right. And you know what? People would legitimately get on us for not knowing the A's if they make back-to-back playoff appearances. We'd have to be like, we'd have to start remembering some names.
No, we did. We named off two or three.
We did. It wasn't so much like they beat the Yankees in three games. They easily beat the Yankees in these games. I mean, they really did. They pitched great. Yankees pitching was terrible. Masahiro Tanaka was garbage last night. He stunk. The Yankees were striking out all over the place. The A's really took care of them. And this was the first meeting of the year. These were the first games the Yankees have played against Oakland this season. And they couldn't beat them in one game.
Well, and that's the big problem with the Yankees anyways. The Yankees have a dynamic batting lineup.
Oh,
I mean, it is a scary lineup to face, especially when everyone is back and healthy. But if you face a team that has good pitching, they're not going to be that good. I mean, you can pitch around certain plays. You know, if you the thing about the A's sweeping is not surprising to me because I feel that they have the baseball mentality to know how to do it.
Yeah,
that they're not
fearful
of these power hitters and say, you know what. Just don't put it where he can hit a power ball.
They have
if
they
he gets
have
a base some, hit, who cares if he gets a base hit?
They have guys. I mean, again, it's you know, if you know the movie, I mean, they got guys who get on base.
Yeah,
I mean, they just have guys who get on base, and their pitching is pretty good. I mean, And the Yankees really are struggling. J.A. Happ in the second game of the series was terrible too. I mean, they just have not. The Yankees got pitching problems. They really got some pitching problems.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at the roster right now for the A's. I'm reading these names. I don't even know them.
Well, we better get used to them because they're going to make a run in September. They're going to the playoffs, and they might win that one-game wild card. You know, they're not catching the Astros, but they might win that one-game wild card, and then we'd really have to get to know
them.
I mean,
do the A's really have any business being there? Mike Fiers is their number one pitcher.
It really is amazing. I got to be honest with you. It's really amazing. And here's the thing. The A's are a team, and those of you who follow baseball know this. They will make the playoffs, then they disappear for a little bit, then they make the playoffs again, and then they disappear for a little bit. And that's what they do. That's kind of their thing. And it's a formula that works. For that market, for that team, it works. They don't need to be consistently great. They don't need to stockpile. I have a super team that tries to win a world, you know, three World Series in 5 years or anything like that. They stockpile, then they release, then they stockpile, then they release, and they do all of that. And it's good enough. It's good enough for the fan base that every now and then they pop up. This would be 2 years in a row making the postseason. That's impressive.
They're going
to. They've really done great.
You know, but
this has been a long-term consistent
way.
Thing.
I'm just going to look at it that the AL is weak. I mean, you know.
It's possible. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, when you have teams like Cleveland and Boston who are, you know, Boston's seven games out of the wild card.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just a weak AL.
When
Boston's
you don't have
not a good team.
When you don't have a strong Boston team. Right. When you don't have a strong Boston team, you're I don't care who steps up to the plate. There's so much talent on the Red Sox. For them to be irrelevant, that means your league
this
right now
late in the
down.
Season.
Yeah, your league is down.
You know, and the greatest baseball player on the planet right now, his team's 12 and a half behind the wild card spot. Down year for the AL.
You're going to have right now you'd have a playoffs of Yankees, Twins, Astros, A's and Rays.
A's and Rays.
Yeah, right now. Cleveland is right there. Cleveland is right behind Tampa Bay in the wild card rankings. But right now, as of today, it's A's and Rays in the wild card.
So is this the National League's year then?
Might be. Could be the Dodgers' year.
Will my Dodgers finally do it?
Could be the Dodgers' year, although we're still dancing in the streets in Houston on the Zach Greinke trade. So
yeah,
still
you,
dealing
you
with
realize
that.
He's undefeated since moving here. He hasn't lost a game yet.
That's right. All right, Hudson Mason joins us in 10 minutes, or a little less than 10 minutes. We'll have him talk some college football analyst, former Georgia quarterback on the SEC, some games this week, and just a few games this week, and we'll get his thoughts on that. But coming up, some of the names that did make some noise in preseason football last night in the NFL. That's next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. By the way, I'm going to stop eating bagels. In the morning.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, God. I'm going to stop eating bagels completely.
You might turn into bagel
bagels,
guy.
But yeah, I know. And I don't want to turn into bagel guy. I don't want to turn into bagel guy.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
be that angry and short.
There's really nothing better than like a toasted bagel.
I know. It's delicious. And I love them. And I have one. And yet I feel like I just ate a bowling ball. Like it just sits. It feels like the bagel is like, oh, when we get inside your stomach, we're gonna grow and multiply and weigh five times more than what you consumed.
But you know what the problem with the bagel is, right? They mask themselves as a healthy donut.
They do.
Because you sit there and you look at the bagel and it's like, well, you know what? There's no sugar. There's no chocolate. There's no glaze on it. It's probably healthy for me.
Ugh.
Look at all those seeds. Those seeds
delicious.
Have got to be healthy.
So good. And yet, every time I go, ugh, that's the last one. Until the next morning. And then I'm like, I'm going to have another one.
Yeah, I'm going to have a bagel.
I'm going to bring another one in. So I do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's
it
crazy.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Got to cut it out. All right. So when do you think Pat Shurmur brought this up, Giants head coach. When do you think critics will start apologizing for the Daniel Jones jokes?
They haven't yet?
They should.
I guess maybe they're hiding behind the fact that, oh, well, you know, he's playing good, but it's preseason.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case. But here's the thing. If Eli Manning plays well and does it, and Daniel Jones doesn't see the field, this is his legacy as a backup. He goes into the entire season as a backup as having such an unbelievably decent preseason for a guy that was so overly criticized that's all they got. As Eli chugs along. Boy, I'll tell you right now, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm torn by this. I want the future to start now. And Eli, God.
You think there's going to be a quarterback controversy, say, by week three?
There could be. Yes, you know what? Yes. Mr. Mara, you're 100% right. John Mara said he wanted Daniel Jones not to see the field. Eli to play well enough that Daniel Jones doesn't see the field. That's ideal. That's better for everybody involved. Because he sees a picture of, you don't want to send Eli out losing his job. But this is a business, and if Eli can't get it done, this kid is showing some stuff in the preseason that makes me wonder what his regular season would be like when they are preparing for him. And I'm not hating the idea now of Daniel Jones being the quarterback of the Giants.
And you know what? It sets up perfectly for a quarterback controversy. Okay, because week one, the Giants open up against the Cowboys.
Right.
If Eli loses that game, we're going to be like, well, you know what? It's the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Week two is against the Bills.
At home.
If they lose against the Bills, that's where the rumbling is going to really start taking fire. Week three is against the Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium.
Forget it. If they're 1-2 or 0-3 after the Buccaneers game, this kid's starting the Redskins game.
Yeah.
There's no way, Eli. There is no way in New York, especially. Look, if this kid struggled and did normal things, and I guess he's fumbled the football, he's responding, he's coming back, like he's turning the ball over, but then bouncing back. He took a hit yesterday that was like, whoa, and then got right back up, and everybody admired the perseverance. He's making smart reads, throwing beautiful passes. I mean, listen, you can argue preseason all you want, and it's true, right? It's a different beast, But the way he's releasing the football, they're nice throws. He's throwing the ball nice. He's got some touch on it. He's throwing it accurately. Yeah, maybe in a regular season game with better defensive backs, maybe it gets tipped or maybe something happens to it. I get it, but he's throwing a really nice ball. Nevertheless, all he's doing is he's reinforcing the notion in Giants fans that I can play and I can play at this level. There's nothing to show in the preseason that I can't. And when Eli's struggling, you're going to want me and want me badly. And if the Giants are 0-3 to start the season or even 1-2 and play bad in Tampa, then there's going to be enough rumblings for the Giants to really start wondering where they're heading.
Yeah, especially because you don't want to go 0-4 after a Redskins game.
Right. Right. And like, and because
that's Giants, 0-2 in the division as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And the Giants need to, and maybe they have, or maybe it's understood. I don't know. But the Giants have to get to Eli that this is not, you know, we don't do the tour, right? We're not doing the whole, you play this out and retire on your own time. If you can't play it, this kid can play. And we drafted him for that reason, because he's going to be your heir apparent. And right now, there's a buzz about him and the way he's playing in these preseason games. It might be meaningless, but it might mean a lot. Who knows? I mean, it's up to the coaching staff to figure it out. But there's enough for fans there to go, when going gets tough, I now want the kid. Because I'm telling you, this is the one thing you want. Parcells did this with Bledsoe, and I know I brought this up before. When Bledsoe was drafted as the number one overall pick by the Patriots, Parcells played him and started him immediately. And his rationale for it was, this is a tough league to be a quarterback in, but I think this kid is good enough to go out there, make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and get better and better and better. And the sooner he gets better, the better off we are as an organization. So that's the way Parcells viewed it. Scott Zolak was the veteran backup, or it could have been the starter. But Parcells realized, look, we want to get better quickly. We're putting a team together. We have our quarterback. Now, he's going to go out there and he's going to throw into double coverage and it's going to get picked off, or he's not going to protect the football and he's going to take sacks. He's not going to throw it away on third down. He's going to do all of these mistakes. But with me and our coaching staff and him being as smart as he is, he's going to learn not to do those. Now, the faster we can get through that learning curve, the better we're going to be and successful. And it worked, because the Patriots were bad in Bledsoe's rookie year until the final four games of the season. And they won enough games in those final four games to make you go, oh, there's something here. They made the playoffs the next year. His second year, they made the playoffs. If you're the Giants, you're in that same kind of situation.
Yep.
You are looking to say, look, if this kid, if we send him out there and he does all of the things wrong that you expect a rookie to do that are forgivable, we're not crazy lunatic fans here. Most of us have an understanding that a rookie is going to do exactly all those things that I mentioned, right? If he can quickly get through all of that as fast as he can, where he goes, I'm not doing that again, or I'm going to read that better, or I'm going to handle the ball better, the faster he learns that, the better the Giants are going to be. But if they toy around with a mediocre Eli and they don't get Daniel Jones in these games, and he comes out next year and he has to go through the learning curve again, you've just delayed the success at the position. Now, some rookie quarterbacks come out and do really well. Most of them go through a learning curve. And that's that, you know, and I think Jones will probably have to go through his. But it's an odd season, because you can't just let Eli play just because he's Eli. At some point, you got to go, this kid's good enough to play now. But boy, if he was terrible, then Eli'd be safe, right? If Jones really was, ooh, God, what are we doing? Can't believe we drafted him. Blew our minds. Then Eli would be safe, but not now. That kid last night, he played with the first team offense and played well. I mean, it's
no, that's why, I mean, when you look at their schedule, and that's where it's all dictated. It's not whether or not he can play right now.
Right.
Because, you know, like you mentioned the Parcells, Bledsoe, they didn't really have a quarterback. They didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm using that term loosely right now.
Oh, sure.
Speaking of Eli. But sure. There's a good chance Eli makes the Hall of Fame. But you didn't have the guy that you've trusted with the ball, and never gave it a second thought for the last 10 years.
Yeah,
Now you're heading into the season. It's like you got this young up and coming kid. Your guy who you've trusted the ball with for forever is on the downside.
Yep, that's right.
So I mean, this is a unique situation. I think you still give Eli the chance to start, but if he starts terrible,
oh, no doubt, right?
It's Daniel Jones era.
That's right. That's right. Again, 9 of 11 last night for 141 yards against the Bengals. And he's got like two touchdowns. He's got really good numbers this preseason. Really good numbers. All right. Hudson Mason. We'll talk some college football next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I'm going to get into a little college football. Clemson, Alabama ranked 1 and 2. Nobody's surprised by that. You know, one of the things that I have to say is I know college football is just, it's just different the way we judge it and the way we pick our champion and how we get teams in the playoffs. It's all, you know, you got to pass the eye test. You got to pass what the committee says. It's not done in some sort of formulaic way of standings and records and common opponents and things like that. But I went to South Carolina, and I'm, you know, from the moment I went to South Carolina, I grew to hate Clemson. But as a guy who has to sometimes has to take a step back from that and look at things objectively, what Dabo Swinney has done at Clemson has been absolutely remarkable. I mean, it really has. And I think that what Alabama and Clemson keep building over and over again, I know people are tired of it, but the reality is they've done that. They've done a really excellent job in recruiting to maintain that level of excellence. Hudson Mason joins us, former Georgia quarterback, now college football analyst here at SB Nation Radio, to go over some college football news and notes. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let me ask you this right off the bat from the SEC standpoint, a conference you're familiar with being at Georgia. Look, they got six teams in the top 25. It is the preseason top 25. Do you see the conference as deep as it has been in years past? It's top heavy, yes. Do you see the middle teams in the conferences as good as they used to be?
No, I don't. And I'll start in the SEC East. I think Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee Vols are, I think he's the right man for the job. Jeremy Pruitt was the defensive coordinator my last year at Georgia, and you know, I always refer to him as a hound dog in recruiting, and I think he's going to do great things there, but I think it's going to take time. You know, and people have to remember when Kirby Smart took over at Georgia, you know, he was taking over a pretty good scenario. You know, there wasn't dysfunction at that program. He took over for Mark Richt. He had Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. You know, that program was in a good state, in a good situation, not like Tennessee, not like Florida. When Dan Mullen took over, and even for Florida, you know, Tennessee and Florida and Georgia, it used to be a three-man race in that conference every single year for 10, 11 wins, and it's just not like that right now. South Carolina has even underachieved in Will Muschamp. So, you know, the SEC East, I think it's Georgia, and then, you know, obviously Florida and even Missouri, I think, could sneak in there and finish second in the East. And in the West, you know, you've got Alabama in a stratosphere of its own. I think LSU is going to be better with Joe Burrow. They've been really stagnant offensively the past couple years. They bring in this Brady guy from the Saints who's supposed to be like the young Sean McVay. But still, you know, Alabama's on a whole different level. Not a lot of parity in college football, I understand that, but there also isn't a lot of parity in the SEC either.
Let's get to Florida. They're facing Miami. It's a neutral site game in Orlando. Manny Diaz's first year coming up and getting promoted, taking over for Richt. But for the Gators, this is a team that came on strong last year, started to really impress late. Felipe Franks found his groove. There seems to be a perception, Hudson, and maybe you can kind of elaborate, that this is a game Florida should not lose and maybe cannot lose, but we live in a world differently in college football now. Is there a lot of pressure on Florida to win this game?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's all the pressure's on Florida, and nobody's expecting Miami to win, including me. Miami's going to be rolling out a redshirt freshman quarterback in Jaren Williams. Manny Diaz is the head coach for the first time. You got to imagine there's going to be some kinks and wrinkles to iron out there. Felipe Franks, Dan Mullen, all of Florida is in year two. They won 10 games last year. So if Florida doesn't win, I think it would be a huge stumbling block out of the gate. Florida has to replace four out of the five offensive linemen from last year. they've had a ton of turnover in the secondary. They've had a lot of some of their best early enrollees from 2019 leave. So it'll be an interesting game. You're going to see a ton of athletes on the field, but I do think the game comes down to the quarterback play. Felipe Franks, if he takes care of the football like he did last year, he only had 6 interceptions all last season, I think Florida should win this game, and I'm taking Florida.
Hudson Mason joining us, former Georgia quarterback, now college football analyst here on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance at Progressive. Get a quote today at progressive.com. Let's stay with the Gators for a second. All right, here's a team that's ranked 8th in the polls, and again, preseason polls, I get it, that's subjective. But the clearly the cream of that division is Georgia. Is Florida Georgia good? I mean, is Florida on the cusp of being Georgia good, or is it still the Bulldogs division to lose no matter what?
No, it's definitely still the Bulldogs division to lose no matter what, barring any significant injury. I think the difference I see right now between Georgia and Florida is just depth. I mean, you go look at Georgia's offensive line. They have four guys. Really, they have two starting offensive linemen, lines, excuse me. They have about 8 or 9 guys with playing experience. They got 4 guys on their starting offensive line that might be top 100 draft prospects, or go top 100 in the draft next year. So when you start to look at depth, and offensive line is just one position, I think that's where Kirby Smart has kind of separated himself from the pack in the SEC. He just has accumulated and stacked on multiple classes with 4 and 5 stars littered, and it's paying off for him. The running back position has been a good one of depth for Georgia lately. They've always had a great 1-2 punch, sometimes even a really strong number three running back. So if Georgia doesn't win the East, Kirby Smart will take a ton of heat, and rightfully so, because they're significantly better than anybody else in the SEC East right now.
All right, in the West, Alabama, if Alabama's number one and there is a fight for second place, or a fight for just trying to keep up with Alabama in case they did stumble, who would you give the edge to? An LSU team led by Joe Burrow, Bo Nix, this freshman at Auburn, Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher? Is there a team that stands out as the second team in the West behind Alabama?
Yeah, I like LSU. I like Joe Burrow. I like what he was able to do last year. If people, I think, they recognized what he did, but I don't know if they really appreciated what he did, because he came in and transferred in the summertime and was the starter about a month and a half, 2 months later. And when you're trying to learn a new language and learn a new playbook and get accustomed with new coaches and new players, that is not an easy thing to do. And he did it at a relatively high level. He won some on the road against Auburn, was a big win for them. So, the reason I don't go Texas A&M is just because I think their schedule is absolutely brutal. Not only the SEC West, but their crossover game against Georgia. They got Clemson on the road. I mean, if Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies get to 9 wins, by golly, give the guy a new contract, because that'd be a heck of an accomplishment.
Hudson, what do you know about Bo Nix, Mr. Alabama football, true freshman, 2-time state champion? Look, I know when we get a true freshman, we all kind of look at Trevor Lawrence now. But, I mean, in terms of Bo Nix, do you like what Auburn has with him? I mean, it's not a lot to work with in terms of what we see. But what do you think of that decision by Gus Malzahn?
Yeah, it's interesting, especially in a year where the hot seat is getting hotter and hotter for Gus.
Right.
Look, Auburn hasn't started a freshman quarterback since 1949. But when they did, and specifically when Gus has had a lot of success in year one with quarterbacks, not necessarily true freshmen, but you go back to Cam Newton year one, Nick Marshall in his first year had a lot of success. I believe that was the year they went to the national championship game. Even Jarrett Stidham. I would argue that Jarrett Stidham's first year in Gus Malzahn is the year that got him drafted. It wasn't last year. So, I'm interested to see what this Bo Nix kid is all about. You mentioned it, former 5-star, Mr. Football. He's got that Auburn lineage. His dad played at Auburn. And, it is not easy by any means to come in and be a freshman, a true freshman, and have success in the hardest conference in college football. But I kind of like this confidence out of Gus Malzahn. He's like, you know what? I understand I'm on the hot seat. It doesn't bother me. I'm going to make decisions with conviction. He's the new play caller for this offense. He moved on from Rhett Ashley, moved on from Chip Lindsey, and he's like, you know, I'm going to run my own show. And we saw that in the bowl game against Purdue, and they lit it up. So I do like this kind of quiet confidence from Gus that even though it might not be the popular thing to do, he's going to go with what his gut's telling him.
Hudson, you know the SEC pretty well. You know the recruiting trails. You know these coaches. I am blown away. It feels like a decade, Hudson, since Tennessee's been relevant. This is mind-boggling to me. This is a passionate fan base. This is a resourceful school when it comes to football. How the hell have they gone 10 years without putting together a decent football team?
You know, I'll compare it to the University of Texas a lot. I firmly believe, and you're exactly right, I mean, since Philip Fulmer left, that program has been in disarray. But I look at Texas and I ask the same question and I really get the same answer. And I believe it's because they haven't had stability at the quarterback position. You know, I compare it a lot. A quarterback for a team is a lot like a father in a household. When a kid grows up in a single parent home and the father's missing, the chance of dysfunction increases significantly. Well, when there's not stability at the quarterback position, like Tennessee and Texas, really since Colt McCoy even left Texas, now they've got Sam Ellinger, and you're starting to see kind of the fruits of their labor. You know, you find stability, you find confidence, you know who your guy is, and it trickles down throughout the team, and the program has success. So, you know, Tyler Bray, you know, was kind of hit or miss for the Vols. Matt Sims, Jared Garantano, hopefully Jim Chaney can do some good things with him, but I think it's all about the quarterback position.
Hudson, great stuff. Hope to catch you again next week when we talk some a lot more games as it really kicks off. I really love having you. Thank you so much.
All right, look forward to doing it. See
you. You got it. Hudson Mason, former Georgia quarterback and now college football analyst, here on SB Nation Radio, again brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Go to progressive.com today to get a great home or car quote. All right, we'll come back. Some wrapped up on the college football. I got some more thoughts on the SEC coming up as, again, Florida, Miami kicks things off in week zero. But then, boy, it really starts to heat up next week with those Thursday night games. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Hudson Mason joining us to talk some college football. We'll get into more games with him coming up next week. God, I tell you right now, man, it drives me crazy. It doesn't really drive me crazy because I'm not a fan, but when I brought up the Tennessee situation, it is so frustrating to watch a program like that, 100,000 people that go to these games, and they are miserable. I mean, they are a terrible team. And it's with all the resources that you put into that, they can't figure out how to – they haven't been good in over a decade. A decade.
Since Manning, right, pretty much?
Well, no. Well, they won
– I mean, they had a little blip here and there.
They did. They won a championship the year after Manning with T. Martin. But, yeah, that's kind of post. But, yeah, since – I mean, they used to be pretty decent. Then they – Phil Fulmer left, and then it's Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley. I can't remember the last guy that they had. Butch Jones was a coach there, and then now they have Jeremy Pruitt. It's just not worked. It's just not worked. And they've lost, let me tell you how bad it's fallen. They've lost three straight years to Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt doesn't mind being the SEC kicking boy. They won a national championship in baseball. That's their sport. They offer a lot of scholarships for baseball. They do have an upper hand in that. They take advantage of that, and they're fine. And we've had years where Vanderbilt has had a good basketball team, so they're fine. But they know that football, they're in the SEC, but they're not ever going to dominate the SEC. And they're beating Vanderbilt. I mean, Tennessee and the Vols they have no answer for it. And it just goes to show you. And listen, it's a big time program. They used to have good rivalries with Alabama. Good games too. Now not anymore. right? Every now and then they might get up for it, keep it close for a little bit, but in the end, no. But then again, I have to admit, Alabama under Nick Saban has been a whole different Alabama, right? We can say that about a lot of previous Alabama rivalries since Nick Saban has taken over. By the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. But it is frustrating. I mean, it's not a program like where they had success and then they kind of fell back. Well, you know, what do you expect from them? They are a consistent 100,000 plus at the stadium. A lot of resources go into the football team. Good recruiting base, good name, good alumni, right? Like it's a great, if you can bring that school back up and be part of that, it runs the whole state. But yet they can't seem to win. They can't seem to succeed. And a lot of it, I will tell you, a lot of it is Saban. Saban is doing such a great job recruiting out of the state of Alabama and in throughout the SEC. Georgia's doing really good at that, too. I mean, it's, you know, you're starting to see other kids deciding to go to Ole Miss, deciding to go to LSU that normally would have been in your own backyard. There's a dynamic shift in recruiting, at least I feel, over the last 10, 12, 15 years or so that's been really remarkable.
Well, I mean, it's got to be frustrating when, you know, a recruit going to Alabama, I mean, all he was really looking at was like, well, you know what? This guy can get me to the NFL.
Yeah, sure.
And that's all it really is now is this Alabama guys win championships and they move on to the NFL.
And, you know, this is the whole thing I was talking about with Dabo Swinney, with the fact that, listen, Clemson didn't have anything, wasn't doing much. Dabo took over as an interim coach, earned the head coaching job, and now has turned this into a national power. For the most part, Nick Saban did the exact same thing. I mean, look, Alabama was not even close to Alabama, mediocre, and then Saban took over, built it, and has built it up, and built it up strong. He's done it with recruiting. He's done it with his own ingenuity. He's done it with his own coaching and his own process, all of those things. But those guys really deserve it. They've really built it.